It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat if you want to join the conversation on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. John Schmell with you. I am back after a couple days off. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the office was closed. Lance Meadow took you home yesterday, and now it is Schmell Day, and we'll talk some Giants football. Not a whole lot of breaking news for the New York football Giants. But we can still talk about Ben McAdoo being hired as the offensive coordinator. We could talk about other potential personnel changes in the offseason, draft stuff, you name it. We can talk about it right here on Giants.com. Also, if you want to touch on the two teams that are in the Super Bowl that will be arriving in New York in less than a week now, the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos, a couple of former AFC West teams. The Seattle Seahawks used to be in the AFC West as well. Now an NFC West and AFC West team representing both conferences. They'll probably show up. I think they're flying in Sunday or Monday. They'll be here to practice Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then, of course, the game on Sunday. And, well, people talked about having the Super Bowl in New York and what it would mean with bad weather. Hello. Boy, yesterday sucked, didn't it? Snow all over the place, high winds, 8 degrees this morning as I'm digging my car out on 73rd Street in the city. And it is chilly. And apparently this really cold weather is supposed to stick with us for at least another week. So all those media members from the West Coast, when they show up on Sunday and Monday, welcome to cold weather Super Bowl fun. 8 degrees and a packed city. But you know what? I'm not going to prognosticate about what the weather's going to be like for the game. They didn't think it was even going to snow a couple days ago, and we got a foot. So anybody that thinks they know what's going to happen on game day has no idea what they're talking about. But New York knows how to handle the snow. The roads were pretty good this morning. No issues getting to work. Excellent job in the city. Excellent job in New Jersey. And this is why next week, and I know some fans have talked about it and worried about it, this game's not getting canceled, folks. A Giants football home game, or a Jets one for that matter, hasn't been canceled or postponed in years. Decades. It's not going to happen now. They will be ready. They will handle it. Obviously, worst case scenario, if you catch a blizzard starting like Sunday morning at noon with people getting to the game, that could be an issue. Overnight Saturday into Sunday wouldn't be good either. But these are all things that the people here at Meadowlands, at MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands, and the people in and around New York and New Jersey will be able to handle. You just hope that some of the weather doesn't halt some of the festivities around the city and the area over the course of next week. But honestly, once again, New York, the airports, the city, they're used to this sort of stuff. It should be all systems go for a fantastic Super Bowl, Super Bowl 48 in New York City. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to our phones and start with our buddy Rich in North Bergen. Rich, what's going on, pal? How are you?
All right.
What's going on?
Nothing. Just looking forward to this free agency here coming up.
A lot of work to do.
Yeah. I mean, I hope we get some offensive line help this year. That'd be nice.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you want to go after offensive line help more in the draft, or do you want to go after more in free agency?
I would say free agency. I mean, I think that was our biggest weakness this year. Defense, I thought, played pretty well a few games. Our running backs, I know we could look for that in the draft easily, I would say. But offensive line, I think, is our key weakness because, we saw in previous years how Eli, what he could do, and he had some protection with him, but, yeah.
No, I hear you. I agree. And, Rich, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. And, look, the Giants are going to bring in probably three new starters in the offensive line. Whether it's a center and two guards and you leave Pugh outside, or maybe a tackle, a center and a guard, and you slide Pugh inside to right guard, or left guard for that matter. Remember, he played left tackle, so Pugh can go left or right. That's not a problem. The Giants are going to have to bring in new offensive linemen. And they're going to need a running back. And they're going to need another wide receiver. And they're going to need a tight end. So let's see. That's 3, 4, 5, 6. That's probably 6 new starters on offense. That's a lot. Not to mention the fact that Giants have to spend some of their monetary resources to re-sign some of their defensive players. Justin Tuck, you want him back. John Beeson, we got to have him back. Linval Joseph, please, can I have some more? So clearly the Giants have a lot of work to do with limited resources. This really is going to be the most important offseason of any offseason for Jerry Reese here with the Giants. And obviously every offseason is important. I understand that. And you have to restock your talent pool every year. And one of the reasons the Giants have fallen off is because they haven't done a good enough job doing that. And Jerry Reese said as much in his postseason press conference. But considering where they select in the draft, all the way up at number 12, which also means they have early picks in rounds 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Combine that with the amount of salary cap space they are going to have. Anywhere from $25 to $30 million, depending on roles renegotiation, potential contract extension, Eli Manning, a potential contract extension. The Giants will have a lot of work to do with limited resources. And Jerry Reese, let's be honest, is going to have to hit a home run. Because there are a ton of questions. I was talking with the person I drove in with today. We were talking about the Giants' offense this year. What players on the offense could you say played well? I counted 2. Justin Pugh, and that's if you throw out the first month and a half of the season, and Victor Cruz. And if you want to throw Kevin Booth into the mix, fine, you can do that. He was consistent. But once again, not an all-pro, you know, all-star caliber interior offensive lineman. He's workmanlike, he's solid, he'll get the job done. Should have about 3 out of 11. That's pretty bad. So a lot of work to do in free agency, which gets going in a couple of months. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Justin in Dobbs Ferry. That's in Staten Island, right, Justin?
No, it's up in Westchester.
Westchester. Sorry about that, Justin. Wait. What's up?
No worries. But I think with your point also, I think maybe Ruben Randall could have been in there also. He did pretty well for the offense this year. I think.
First half of the season, he disappeared the last 5 or 6 games, and that really did not sit well with me, considering you want to see your young players get better as these seasons progress. And really, the last 5 or 6 games, Ruben Randall was absolutely invisible. And throw in the fact, Eli threw the majority of his interceptions throwing the ball to Ruben Randall. Randall's completion percentage in terms of receptions and targets was extremely bad in terms of a ratio. So there are things he's going to have to get better at next year.
Yeah, he definitely has to work because he's probably going to be in the number 2 or 3 spot there.
Question about it.
But with McAdoo, everybody was pointing their finger towards Mike Sullivan and thinking that it was going to be Tom's offense again. Now that they brought in McAdoo, he got rid of Pope, got rid of the running back coach. Now, is this not Tom Coughlin's offense now, or is it this is going to be a mix between the two, or are they going to put the reins in McAdoo's hand and say, this is your offense, and Tom will have, a say in it, or is it basically, do what you do?
I think it's going to be a mix, and I think one of the quotes from Tom Coughlin is that, we want to take what he does and take what we do. And I don't think you want to throw away everything you've done here in the past. I think that's counterproductive. However, I think you're going to see a whole new terminology, how you communicate plays, how you call them. That's something the players are going to have to learn. I think maybe your approach might change. Obviously, your play calling is going to change because you have a new guy calling the plays. This is how I described it to somebody the other day when they asked me. This is the exact same question you asked me, Justin. I don't think Tom is simply going to hand the keys to Ben McAdoo and say, kid, drive this car wherever you want, have a good time, enjoy. I think Tom's going to hand him the keys. He's going to get in the car. Tom's going to sit in the passenger seat, and he's going to have his foot on, like, the, you know, training driver brake in the passenger seat. So he's going to let McAdoo he's going to let McAdoo do his thing, but I think he's going to very carefully monitor what he installs, what he's going to do, how they meld the two systems together. Because, then, look, Tom, obviously, based on the fact he made the move, understands change is needed. But at the same time, Tom's an offensive coach. Coach Coughlin knows what he likes to do on offense. So I don't think you're going to see a complete sea change to a, you know, classic Andy Reid West Coast-style offense. I think you're still going to see a fair mix of what the Giants have done here in the past.
Do you think it's – I mean, I know Gilbert's offense was very elaborate and tough to learn. Do you think this will be an easier transition? Will it take a shorter time, you think? Or is it going to be tough for these receivers to, you know, go from – Gilbert's offense now, this offense, and have to learn a whole new system?
Well, look, I don't think you ever really know how players are going to react when they have to learn a new system. I mean, Eli Manning's never had to do it. You would think he's smart enough and works hard enough where he's going to be able to do it, but there's really no way to know. A guy like Reuben Randall and Jarrell Jernigan, guys that were slow in learning their first offenses, I worry about them a little bit. I worry about a guy like Will Beatty, who took a while to learn the offensive system when he first got into the NFL. But sometimes I think change is good. I think you challenge these guys to think about their jobs differently, think about their role differently, and I think that, in a lot of ways, by itself, makes them better players. So I think in the end it's a good thing, and I think the goal, going back to your original question, is to have this offense be a little bit simpler to grasp than what has been here before. So if you have a couple of injuries, you're not bringing in somebody that, quite frankly, doesn't have a clue what they're doing, and they can pick things up a little bit quicker and be inserted and do a little bit of a better job faster.
Great, thank you.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Justin. Now, again, we'll see what happens. You know, Mike McCarthy and McAdoo's system, and again, what we're calling McAdoo's system is really Mike McCarthy's system here. Granted, that's the only offense he's really coached under, so you assume they're one and the same, but do we really know that? We don't know what McAdoo wants to do differently from what Mike McCarthy did. There could be big differences. We don't know until we actually see it out there when the OTAs begin. So we're doing a lot of speculating here, and that's all we can do. That being said, I think change is going to be good, and I think the offense will be better off considering the new types of things the Giants will be doing on offense. And I wonder when they're going to fill in the rest of those assistant coaching positions as well. You got to figure in the next couple weeks, you would hope that would be completed. And it looks like the Broncos won't have anybody poached off of their Super Bowl staff, by the way, which is always a worry. And I'd be surprised if the Seahawks have someone taken off their staff as well. What are the Browns going to do now? Boy, they waited all this time to get the Broncos offensive coordinator. Now, no. Nah, I'm going to stick with Peyton Manning. Thanks for playing. I mean, I don't blame the guy. Wouldn't you want to stick with Peyton Manning and learn from him a little bit? I would. But honestly, I don't think the Browns are as far away as a lot of people think. Their defense is pretty good. They have two first-round picks this year. They're going to be able to draft a quarterback in the top 10, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater or Johnny Manziel, if you like him. You got the other two kids coming out. The one kid from Florida, Bortles. And then the one other kid that's coming, I can't remember his name, but you could have four quarterbacks go in the first round. So it'll be something that you keep an eye on this year. And I think the Browns can turn this around a little bit quicker. They have Josh Gordon on offense. They bring back Alex Mack. They have a decent offensive line. Joe Thomas, obviously, a very good tackle. Gordon, a dynamic wide receiver. Defense pretty good. You got a quarterback in there. I think the Browns, I'm not saying it's going to be like the Chiefs, where you just flip the switch and you win 12 games. But I could see the Browns winning 8 games next year, 9 games, if they get a good performance out of a rookie quarterback, no question. 201-939-4513. Now, this guy can talk about a city that didn't do well with the snow, and it kind of ruined the Super Bowl experience down there in Big D. Pierre, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good to hear from you. Oh, I want to agree with you that I don't think they're going to cancel that Super Bowl. Actually, I would like to see it snow because you want to see something different. But they're not going to cancel that thing. Now, Dallas, that was unexpected. People want to get on us about that. We don't get that kind of snow on a regular
right.
basis.
Now, and you guys got the worst luck possible. That really was just terrible luck.
Yeah, that was terrible. I mean, and with all that said, unbeknownst to a lot of people, it was still one of the most profitable Super Bowl because what we did here in Dallas and North Texas area is that we involved a lot of cities and we did it the whole year, not just that week or 2 weeks before. We did it the whole year. And so the NFL will come back. It's just they have to give all the other teams like San Francisco, all those other teams, opportunities to hold the Super Bowl. And I think San Francisco, they're kind of approaching it the way we did is do a regional thing. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl, man. I hope it snows. You know, MetLife Stadium is a nice looking stadium. I think it'll be a good Super Bowl. But I chuckled at you because you're like, don't listen to those little guys about it not snowing. It, you know, it's going to be canceled. But then you said it will never be canceled. And I was like, well, you know, who knows? Mother Nature, you never can predict Mother Nature. But one other question I wanted to ask you. Was you guys tight ends coach? Was it that he was just a good coach, or was it just he didn't have the talent to work with? Because I think he's interviewing in several places. I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
Hey, look, with Mike Pope's contacts in this league and the success that he's had, it's no surprise that he's going to pick up a job relatively quickly, and that would not surprise me. In my opinion, I don't think the Giants let him go because they don't think he's a good coach anymore. Look, he's turned in, what, four different tight ends in four different years, and he's turned them into pretty good players here for the Giants and useful players, whether you're talking about Kevin Boss, Jake Ballard, Martellus Bennett. You know, Brandon Myers this year, for all his issues blocking, he still caught, you know, 55, 60 passes. And then I'm missing a guy in the middle of that group, but I forget who it is. But he's done an excellent job bringing guys in and out, and I would be not surprised if he picks up a job very quickly. I think the Giants just knew they needed some changes on this staff, give McAdoo a chance to bring in some of his own people, and bring in some younger, newer guys that can help install this offense that maybe aren't quite as set in their ways as some others.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call, man. I enjoy listening to you. And I just wanted to call in. You kind of made me laugh because Mother Nature is very unpredictable. But I think it's going to be a nice Super Bowl. I think y'all will be a great host, and it will be profitable for you guys.
We're doing our best. Thanks, Pierre. And there should be no doubt as why Dallas made money. There's one thing Jerry Jones knows how to do, turn a profit. Might not be the best general manager in the world, but that dude knows how to make cash. And he's a showman, too. He really is, so. Dallas will get another Super Bowl if, for no reason other than the fact you can squeeze 100,000 people into that building and you want as many people at those Super Bowl games as possible. And that place is a palace. It's gigantic. And trust me, they'll have another game there at some point. 201-939-4513. Is that true, Neelay? Do you have years and numbers on that for me? Whoo! Well, folks, this isn't Giants news. But our web technical director, Neelay Shah, informs me the New York Yankees have signed Masahiro, is that how you pronounce it? Tanaka. 7 years, 150? 155. Whew! So much for getting under that 189 apron, huh? Luxury tax, here you come, Yankees! Wow. You know what, though? If you're going to give a pitcher 7 years, give it to a 25-year-old. Don't give it to a 30-year-old like CeCe Sabathia, who, by the way, is freakishly skinny. Have you seen pictures of him? Holy cow, he's dropped like 80 pounds. He looks like a different guy, which I thought was a little weird. You wonder if that's going to affect his pitching. But big news for the Yankees, signing Mr. Tanaka. That's exciting. Whole new rotation in the Bronx this year. 201-939-4513. Is this Priya down in Philly? Priya, good morning.
Hi, how are you, John?
How you doing?
Good. I listen to you guys all the time, so thank you for your show. You guys do a great job.
Well, thank you for
my
listening.
My question is about David Wilson. I'm assuming he's going to come back. So if he's going to be back, is there any possibility for him to just be the punt returner and not a running back? That's my first question.
Well, you know what? I think they're going to try to use him at running back, but I don't think, and this is just my opinion, he's going to be that 20, carries a game type of running back. I think that ship has sailed. I think ideally David Wilson's role next year, Priya, it's going to be kick return. Maybe try to use him in punt a little bit if you can. And then try to get him a couple screen passes. Try to run him 8 to 10 times in a game to get his explosive ability on the field, but not wear him down and not make him susceptible to injury by giving him too many carries.
Okay. All right, great. And my second question is about McAdoo. Is he, do you know if he's going to be up in the press box during the game so you can actually look at the field, you know, versus how Gilbride used to do things, like he would be on the field instead of up in the press box? Do you know if what McAdoo's situation is going to be?
You know, McAdoo, when he was in Green Bay, was Mike McCarthy's eyes and ears in the booth upstairs. They have not announced whether or not he's going to be on the field here up in the booth. From what my understanding always has been, is Tom Coughlin prefers his coordinators to be down on the field to communicate directly with the players. But I'm sure if Ben McAdoo went to Tom Coughlin and said, Tom, I would really prefer to do this from the booth. It's where I'm more comfortable. I think I do a better job up there. I don't think Tom would have a problem with it. I'm sure it's something they're discussing, and we'll probably find out in the OTAs, I'd probably say, when they finally make a decision like that.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much, John.
Hey, thank you for calling, Priya. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening down there in Philly. I love the fact that we have a lot of Giant fans in the home cities of the other NFC East teams. And I'm glad that we can provide those people who are stuck with nothing but Eagles or Redskins or Cowboys 24/7. We can give them a little taste of the Giants here on Giants.com every morning. That makes me happy. Can't give them the snow like we have up here, but we can give them everything we can. And by the way, I don't know if you guys noticed this. Whenever during the championship games they would show B-roll and footage and scenics of MetLife Stadium, it was lit up blue every single time. And I'm sure that wasn't on purpose. I'm sure they just pulled a couple night shots that looked really nice with the stadium lit up blue, and that's what they used. But I'm sure the Jets weren't thrilled about that. It was a lot of blue. I didn't see a whole lot of green. 201-939-4513. Shakes is in Baltimore. Shakes is back again. Second straight week. What's up, Shakes?
Hey, what's going on? I'm going to jump on that Jet thing right now. They don't deserve to have any colors when they show that stadium.
No, Shakes, that's not fair. The Jets, and let's be honest, the Jets had a pretty good year, and they paid for half of that stadium, so they have every right to the building as the Giants do, and That is fair.
They didn't win a bowl since 68. They irrelevant. So anyway,
Shake, why do you have so much hatred towards the Jets? You're down in their Baltimore. You never even hear anything about them.
Because I had to hear about them when I was living in Brooklyn, and my father's a Jet fan too. So.
Well, that is a good reason, Shakes. That'll buy. How much snow did you guys get down there in Baltimore? A lot or not too bad?
A lot. They said it was 8 inches.
Whew. Get out there, start shoveling, bro.
I did, man. My back is killing me. I want to jump in, though, man.
Yeah, what do you got?
First of all, I think he was too hard on Team Knicks last week. I think he was too hard. I know he's been hurt, and I know he had a down year. Well, bad, a couple down years, but I still think he can. He has it. He has it. But you can't judge that off of this year. I mean, really, man.
I'm judging him off of two seasons, Shakes, not one, two.
Okay. And he didn't do that bad the season before. I mean, yes, it wasn't the King Knicks that we knew, but. I mean, I don't think that it's a wash. I mean, he really needs to come back.
How much do you want to pay him to come back, though, Shakes? That's the question. I'd love to have Akeem Nicks back, too, but at the right price. I'm not paying him. I'm not getting him a four-year, you know, $35, $40 million contract.
So what's that annually a year?
About $9 million.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And honestly, look, Hakeem Nicks, and this is the quote from his mouth, I still believe I'm a number one wide receiver. That's what he said the day they packed up their bags here and cleared out of the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. And if he believes he's that, he's going to want that type of money. Now, do I think a team's going to give him 10 or 12 a year? No, but do I think a team's going to pony up Victor Cruz money for him, if not a little bit more? I think he'll probably get a four-year, $30 million contract from somebody, and I'm not sure I can commit that much guaranteed money. And of that $30 million, 12 is going to be guaranteed. I can't guarantee $12 million of money to a guy that's been, quite frankly,
and play 16 games, yeah.
Who doesn't play 16 games, that's even a better point, and has been a really, at best, above-average NFL wide receiver for the last two seasons. I can't do it.
I don't see 10 and 12 million either. Maybe 6 or 7, 10 or 12, that's too much.
Now here's the thing. If Akeem Nicks comes back and says, look, I'll take a one-year or two-year prove-it-to-me contract where, you know, he's guaranteed 4 or 5 million, then he has another 5 or 6 million in performance incentives or something like that, that's something I'd think about. But I cannot invest that type of money in somebody that's always hurt and is coming off two straight bad years. I can't give that guy that much guaranteed money. Again, if he wants to take a smaller deal with some incentives, I'll be on board for that. But I can't hand the guy that type of check when he's never on the field, though he did play a lot of games this year, and he hasn't played well for a couple seasons.
Okay, you got me on board. I'm with you on that. Now, this is another thing I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
Like the priority positions and what we need to do in this off season. Now, this is assuming that we bring back Beeson, okay? Mm-hmm. If not, we need linebackers. You know I want them.
Shakes, what would you do if the Giants did not bring back John Beeson? Would you go into hiding again for a couple months? What would you do?
Boy, y'all may need to put an APB out for me. Because I'm going to lose my mind, man. What are they doing if they don't bring back Beeson, man? But they got to bring back Beeson. My main positions, though, if assuming that we do, we have to show up them corners. Them corners, I mean, every year, we get through these injuries. Webster's not he's not the one that stopped number one receivers. And even though I'm big on Prince, I'm very big on Prince, I don't even like him on main receivers. Like Calvin Johnson, that scares me. We need corners. Corners, bad. And we need interior linemen because you brought up Orr and the other guy brought up Brandon Albert, them two tackles. But we got tackles in Pugh and Beatty. But the thing is, I think that they should switch because I think Pugh looks more just by how he plays and his body shape. He looks more like a left tackle than Beatty is. And I think Beatty will be good on the right side where he don't have to have that pressure of blocking Eli's blind side.
Well, here's the thing. I think Beatty is probably a better athlete than Justin Pugh. He's got more of the physical attributes of a left tackle, including those longer arms. I'm not sure how well Beatty would do against some of those larger left defensive ends that really use their power to get after the quarterback. He has trouble anchoring sometimes against power rushers, yeah, to be quite honest with you. I think that, let me put it this way, Shakes. I think there's more consideration moving Pugh inside than there is moving him to left tackle at the current time. Not to say it can't ever happen. Look what happened with David Dio. He wound up at left tackle, too, because he played so well. So it could happen. Yeah. I just don't think it's in the plans just yet.
That's cool. I just think that we should really be focusing on the interior. Like, we need guards and we need the center. And, I mean, Booth should come back, if, you know, for the right price, but I think we really need to focus on them corners and the interior line and bring in one more impact linebacker. Just one. Running backs, we need them. I don't know what we're going to do. We're bringing back Brown, and I don't know if Wilson's going to be healthy. So we're going to have to bring in another body. But I don't know if I want a rookie from the draft or do I want a veteran. I mean, because David Wilson was the future or is the future. I don't know what their plans is, but and Brown is now. So I don't know whether we go for the future again in the draft or do we go for a veteran that, you know? But I'm thinking of veteran because we need somebody to block. Remember I was talking about that last year. You know, Brandon Jacobs and Hillis did a very good job when they came in. So
they were fine. I don't think they brought anything special, but they were good backups.
I mean, blocking-wise, they did okay.
No, yeah. Pass protection-wise, they did a good job.
Yeah, way better than what I was talking about when we were coming in the season. I'm like, I don't know if Wilson can do it. And we are like, well, I don't know either. And I'm like, okay. And then we see it, and he's whiffing on pickups. And we like, oh, my gosh, we're in trouble.
I don't think it's gone up yet. Hey, Neil, has David Wilson's film room gone up yet? Has that been edited yet? Not yet, right? Well, eventually, at some point over the next couple of weeks, we're doing this off-season feature on Giants.com called Inside the Film Room. I'm not sure when David Wilson's coming up, but it'll be in the next month or so. Check out Giants.com. You'll see it up there. And Banks does a good job breaking down some of his issues in pass protection.
Yes. I just wanted to say one more thing.
Yeah, real quick, Jake.
Andrew, his pops, everybody that showed me love when I came back last week, thank y'all. He actually called me the beast in the BB.
He did. That is correct.
And that's how I pray it for me. So thank y'all, and I'll call in. I'm trying to call in tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks, Shakes.
All right, man. You take care.
My buddy Shakes in Baltimore back on board. 201-939-4513. Victor is down in Texas. Victor, what's up, pal?
Hey, what's going on? One thing I wanted to mention, that Tanaka deal did include them buying out his contract for $20 million.
Yeah, that's already, right. So their total outlay was $175 million. Plus, by the way, apparently Tanaka is going to have a opt-out after the fourth year in that contract. So then at 28, if he pitches really well, guess what? He's going to get another monster deal. So good for him.
Wow, that's crazy. Couple of things. I want to get them as quickly as possible. First off, I just don't understand why, and a lot of people don't. Why didn't the Giants and Jets build a dome on this place?
Too expensive.
They would have been. What's that?
Too expensive, Victor. That thing is like another $500 million.
The money they spent on MetLife cost more than what Jerry Jones spent.
Welcome to New Jersey, my friend.
It's those contracts in New Jersey. That's
very strong labor unions in New Jersey, my friend. Everything
exactly.
comes with a price.
Exactly. But, let's get into the draft. You know, looking at the draft, everybody's going to say, well, you need a lineman, which I totally understand. And, you know, I'm not saying the lineman I'm about to mention, he's going to go the first round or whatever, but I think he's a really good guy. Zach Martin from Notre Dame, he's one of the guys that Tom Coughlin, he likes, a guy that can play multiple positions. You can put him at a right tackle. He can play guard. You know, you can slide him down. I mean, he's very smart. He's one of those guys. But I'm also thinking about a tight end, you know. Two tight ends in this draft I like. I definitely like the one from the Tar Heels, Eron, and I like the guy from Washington, big guy. Forgot his name. It's pretty long. But these guys are pretty big, and they're active, and they're basketball players. And that's where the position is going now, the basketball players. And as far as with McAdoo, do you think that he can possibly bring some Green Bay free agents over here? I was knowing that running back James Starks is coming up. He's going to be a free agent.
Oh, James Starks and James Jones, yeah.
James Jones, yeah. James Starks and James Jones. I mean, those guys can definitely fill a void. Plus, if he's going to bring some of their offense over, those two guys are going to be well-versed in it already and be able to help out some other guys in the team.
I would not be surprised if one or both of those guys wound up here this offseason. I don't think either will cost a bundle, which I think certainly helps. And it's always good to have guys here that know the system to, frankly, help the players along in those meetings in addition to what the coaches are telling them.
And definitely. And as far as wide receiver, it's like I said, I know Hakeem Nicks is going to be gone, but I don't think Reuben Randall and, you know, Jarrell Jernigan and Victor Cruz is going to be, you know, a high-powered, you know, offensive threat that I want to see Eli with. I want to see him bring some guys in or draft somebody. You know, I know there's some young speedsters out there that can get. And defensively, you know, we got to get some corners. Justin Gilbert, I believe, he's from, Mississippi State? think it is.
Yeah, he'll be one of the top corners.
Yeah, he's one of the top corners. I mean, we have to look at that because we got guys that are – and I'm tired of corners that are like 5'11". I want a 6'2 corner, and that's where the league is going to right now. Look at Richard Sherman. I mean, you know, he's 6'2", tall, lanky guy. We got to get these guys to match up better with all these top receivers. And one last thing, and if Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin, you know, if Tom Coughlin wants, if he doesn't want him to be working up in the booth, he needs to have him down in the sidelines. I think that's something that they'll figure out during preseason or something like that. I don't think that's a big deal at all.
No, honestly, I don't think it is either. I think it can work either way. Victor, thanks for the call, bud.
Thank you.
And on Zach Martin, by the way, you bring up the interesting name. He was projected as like a third or fourth round pick, but played really well at the Senior Bowl, has done a good job at Senior Bowl practice. And he's, frankly, to me, sounds a lot like Justin Pugh. He's a guy that's 6'4", 300 pounds. They say he doesn't have the longest arms in the world to play offensive tackle. So he sounds a lot like Justin Pugh. And the Giants obviously like Pugh enough to draft him in the first round. And a high IQ type of player, very versatile, very smart, hard worker. And it sounds like Zach Martin is very similar to that. 201-939-4513, a guy that played tackle in college that could eventually go inside if you need him to. Let's go to Steve in Washington, D.C. Steve and Shakes can form the Hakeem Nicks fan club in that D.C. area.
You're too late. Lance helped me organize it yesterday.
Oh, did he really?
He sure did, buddy.
Very good.
He sure did. Listen, you know, I wasn't going to jump. I was going to sneak Hakeem in at the end right before you cut me off. But let me say, first of all, you knew you dropped my call last week. I tried to get back, man, but it was just busy.
Yeah, that was my bad, Steve. I bad fingers on my part. Very sloppy.
No problem, buddy. I forgive you, man. It's freezing out here. I was calling to talk about, you know, John, I'm just, you know, I'm really kind of baffled, and I really don't want to see a bunch of wholesale changes, you know, in the offense. Other than I know we need to address the offensive line, but as far as the receiving core, I really kind of want to leave it alone for this year. I know we need to get another healthy running back in here, a workhorse, you know, but I'm just concerned that, you know, here we are, and I know that Kevin Gilbright stepped down or retired, however you want to put it, but I just think that, you know, that now that we have a new, you know, offensive coordinator, you know, I think that's going to be what, you know, should be the biggest change in the offense this year. I just really don't like giving this guy all these weapons and things that we never even know. You know how I feel about Kevin Gilbride. But I feel like, listen, you know, if we should have kicked Kevin Gilbride, if we're going to make all these other changes, you know, why didn't we just make Kevin Gilbride stick around for another year or two?
Yeah, but you know what, Steve? I think if you're going to change offensive coordinators, I think that is the time when you change personnel. Since they'll have to learn a new system anyway, you might as well have everybody learn a new system together. And I think if you're going to change a lot of personnel, I think it makes sense to do that in tandem with changing your offensive coordinator. I think it makes the transition a little bit easier for everybody.
Yeah, well, I'm just one of those people who thinks that the play calling was broke, not necessarily the players. You know, I think that most of our players have proven that they can be successful in this league on our offensive line. It's not like we had a bunch of rookies on our offense, period. So I'm just one of, you know, then of course it goes right to Hakeem. You know, I know you were saying about how Reuben Randall was the main target of Eli's interception. You know, I was led to believe it was Hakeem, but the bottom line is Eli just struggled getting the ball downfield. That's why, you know, a lot of balls were not completed by him or Hakeem. So that needs to be addressed, and that's my bigger point. The only point, really valid point I wanted to make today, at least valid in my mind, I just feel like, you know, I don't know how successful Eli can be in a West Coast offense. It just seems to me that every time, he's making a quick throw, and now I'm not going to say it's Eli's fault, but him or the receivers just don't seem to be on the same page. It always seems like, you know, it ends up in an interception or, you know, some sort of turnover. So I'm just wondering, do you see Eli going to a three-step drop? You know, can you see him being successful in that? And how will that translate? Because he hasn't, you know, I mean, with the West Coast offense, a lot of times, you know, you're maybe throwing on the run or a rollout or, you know, a three to four step drop. I just don't really see that translating with Eli. So I'm very concerned about that. And I think that, you know, the biggest thing we have to do is stop turning the ball over. So, you know, I really like, you know, speak on that if you would.
No, Steve, no problem. And you know what? I think those two things go hand in hand. I think by going to more short stuff, I think in a lot of ways you do eliminate some of the turnovers. Because you're right, some of the turnovers came on miscommunications on short passes. But a lot of Eli's mistakes to me came on those plays where he's taking the five or seven step drops. He gets pressure. He tries to force the ball. He tries to force the ball downfield when it's not there, like the interception to Knicks at the end of that first half against the Broncos. Plays down the field late against the Seahawks when that game was out of reach. You know, plays like that, I think, is when Eli makes most of his mistakes. And frankly, I hope Eli has watched his brother Peyton play in these playoffs, where he's taken one or two shots down the field in each game, and that's great. But he has been a master tactician. Crossing pattern, 7 yards. Slant, 6 yards. Mm-hmm. Swing pass out of the backfield, 9 yards. Screen pass, 11 yards. Little back shoulder fade, 24 yards. And he just methodically takes what the defense gives him, moves the ball down the field, doesn't put the ball into harm's way. And if Eli embraces that type of strategy, there's no reason, based on his physical skill set, that he can't be very successful doing it.
Well, let's hope so. You know, listen, John, about the defense. You know,
real quick.
I want to. Okay, sure. I want to keep John Beeson. I really do, but I don't want to, you know, mortgage the whole team for him. So, you know, especially considering, you know, his health. You know, and that's the biggest thing. I think, you know, his play speaks for itself, but I'm still having some concerns about his health. So I'm probably not a new question. I'm wondering, do you think we'll go to the draft or we'll look at free agency? And I'll listen out there, John. Thanks for taking my call, buddy. You know,
Steve, hold on 1 second. Are you asked which position more free agency of the draft? And we lost Steve, so I can't answer his question. Ah, crap. Dan, you heard him at all? No? Nothing? All right, I'm going to take a wild guess. So he said defense. We talked about Beeson. So I'm going to guess linebacker. Because I think he's going to want another linebacker besides Beeson. So I'm going to take a guess. I'll talk about the linebacker, and I'll talk about corner, too, because I think those are probably the two things he wants to talk about. So in terms of linebacker, let's say you bring back Beeson. If you add another linebacker, that's a good question. I think about adding one to the draft and get him. I wouldn't pay big money for another free agent linebacker if you're spending a lot of money on Beeson. But I don't think you can spend money on two linebackers in free agency. Not big money. You can bring in a second guy for a couple mil, but nothing more than that. So if you sign Beeson, I would not mind drafting an outside linebacker in rounds two or three that can maybe be an impact player. I'd be okay with that. As for corner, I think there's a good chance the Giants draft a corner. I think if you identify a corner in the draft that has the physical skills to play on this level, I think for the most part they tend to translate. Now, sometimes it's slower for some guys. Prince had the foot injury. A guy like Morris Claiborne with the Cowboys has had a lot of injury problems. He hasn't played to the level they would have liked. Kyle Wilson for the Jets, a first-round pick. That hasn't translated as a first-round pick, though he has been playing better now. It took him a little while to kind of get into things. D. Milner, it took him almost an entire season before he started making plays. But generally speaking, if the corner has the size and speed, he's going to be okay in the NFL. So I can see the Giants using one of their top picks on a corner. That wouldn't shock me. Because corners in free agency are expensive. You know, it's quarterbacks, it's wide receivers, it's defensive ends, and it's corners. Those are the four positions where you're really going to get paid. And I think with the Giants' limited budget, it's a big budget, but considering all their needs, I'm still going to call it limited. Not sure you can go out there and spend premium dollars on a corner, especially when you might already have to spend premium dollars on a tackle or a guard on the offensive line. I think you got to pick your poison there a little bit. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Matt in Babylon, New Jersey. Matt, what's up, pal? Or is that Babylon, Long Island?
Yeah, it's Babylon, Long Island.
What's up, Matt? How are you?
Covered in snow. Good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Okay, so here, I never understood this. If you have a new coordinator come in,
yeah,
and it's one guy and he's got his system, does the whole team have to learn a new language? Like, if you if you have a fade and the Giants call it apple, but McAdoo calls it orange, it seems like everybody's got to learn orange, whereas it would just be easier for McAdoo to just learn the Giants language, no?
Yeah, but McAdoo's in charge, so he gets to do what he wants. Honestly, you laugh, but that honestly is what it is. I mean, each offensive system, how I understand it, has a terminology that's related to itself. So to take his system and apply a different terminology to his system might throw some of the logical connections between the terminology a little bit out of whack. So I think the terminology goes hand in hand with the system because the terminology is built around what the plays are and what guys do. So I'm not sure you can take his system and eliminate the terminology because the two, I think, to a certain extent are linked.
Okay, right. So it's not like all the roots are the same. You're just changing the language. Okay.
Right. And also, some teams use numbers. Some teams use names. There are a lot of different ways to call plays. But they all work. It all requires a little bit of work by the players to figure it out.
Okay. Can I ask a free agent question?
Of course. What do you got?
Some thoughts?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so here goes. So I'll try to make it quick. Just looking at history, right, it seems like these defensive linemen, whether you go back to like a Cornelius Griffin or Barry Cofield, these guys just aren't signed. So I love Linval, but I think he's out. I do think the Giants will pay for a center. I think that, like Chris Bober, Sean O'Hara, David Boss, I think that's one place they'll spend some money. Beeson is up in the air.
I agree.
I'd like to see him back, but don't know. Nick, I actually think there's not going to be as much interest on the free agent market, so maybe, like you said, a 1 or 2 year deal with incentives. And then, it's hard to say with the Giants because I just don't know how much money they'll have available if Roll and Eli redo contracts, but it could be actually a big year for them where they maybe get a running back or, you know, a couple positions on offensive line. So we'll see.
No, I agree. I think everything Matt just said is right on the money. I think the big question on defense is how much interest and money John Beeson gets in terms of an offer from another team. Because I'm not sure how high the Giants want to go. I know they want him back. But if Beeson comes back to the Giants and says, I got a 5-year, $40 million contract here with $10 million guaranteed, do the Giants match that? I don't know.
I don't know. All right, last thing, just love the show. Len does a great job. Shakes, missed you. Welcome back. Tim, happy to talk to everybody on this snow day. So thanks to you guys.
Hey, thanks for calling it, man. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And you're right up with those other calls. Good stuff out of you. Thanks so much. And all listeners, obviously. You know, this show has been really going strong all offseason. And I got to be honest, not to insult everybody out there, I'm pleasantly surprised. I was a little worried. You know, you head into the offseason. Now, there was an offensive coordinator change, so there's been some stuff to talk about, which has certainly helped and given us something to chat about. But, you know, you get a couple, 2-3 weeks into the offseason, and you can really start running out of things to say, running out of things to talk about. But you guys on Twitter, and I'll get to your Twitter questions in a bit, and on the phone since the season has ended, you guys have kept it fresh, you've kept it interesting, you've kept it entertaining, and I'm more than happy to be with you. I know Lance feels the same way. So thank you very much. We got three callers on the line holding. We're going to hit all three of you. Then we're going to say goodbye. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, good morning. How you be?
Good. Good to hear your voice. Glad you're on this morning. It's a great morning to talk Giants football with snow all over the place.
Did you shovel yet, Len?
Yes, I got my shovel out, and as soon as the show is over, I'm going to go out and dig out the cars.
Don't you have any grandkids that can come over and do that for you, Len? You got to do that yourself? Come on, cheap labor, man.
it is cheap labor, but boy, I tell you, it's expensive to be a kid today.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Hey, listen, real quick, a little trivia. I think I'm right on this. Last time the Giants had a game postponed, I want to go back to the late 70s, a preseason game against the Jets. Actually, it was an exhibition game. Those were the days we called them exhibition games. Against the Jets, it was a Sunday night game. There was a hurricane in August that came through the area, and the game got postponed till Tuesday night. And I think that's the last time the Giants or the Jets had a game postponed in any shape, manner, or form.
Well, technically, Len, the last game the Giants had postponed was the game in Minneapolis that they ended up playing on Monday night.
Oh,
so
there you go.
The last home game they had postponed, that's what you're looking for.
Okay. That may have been that exhibition game. Thank you for reminding me of that. And that turned out okay, didn't it?
Yes, it did. After a stopover in Kansas City and then hanging out in Detroit, that was a very interesting trip, needless to say.
It worked out okay. Listen, if McAdoo, to make it easier and simpler on the players, if McAdoo wants to change the terminology from apple to oranges, he needs to have at least as many new offensive assistants as there are leftover assistants. I mean, it's got to be his guys who are communicating this, not the leftovers.
Well,
I mean,
Len, here's the beauty of it, though. The players don't show up again till the middle of April. So McAdoo has January, February, March, and half of April to teach the coaches already here what his terminology and system is. And trust me, these coaches are smart guys. They're going to be able to figure it out, and they're going to be ingrained into the system and know it inside and out by the time the players show up in April.
It is interesting, John, that the two offensive assistants who were with Tom the longest are no longer with the team.
I think that's also interesting, and it's telling and probably a bit of a lead piece of evidence as to why those are the two guys that were let go.
Yeah, I think so. And also, you made a point about this maybe being, if he's going to change the terminology, this is a good year for five or six new starters on offense.
No question.
So I think the timing on this is working. You know, it's working out pretty good. Cornerback at number 12. You know, if the best player available is a cornerback at number 12, I jump all over it. And one of the reasons I do is thinking about what the Cowboys did 2 years ago. Why did they sign Brandon Carr and spend 10, 11, as you pointed out? Usually in free agency, you got to pay too much money.
Got to overpay
for for corners. But why Brandon Carr? Why spend that much money? Because they were afraid of the wide receivers in the NFC East.
Oh, no, that's exactly why. The Cowboys made those moves that offseason, signing Brandon Carr and drafting Morris Claiborne, trading up for him, by the way, and losing their second-round pick to do it because they had to cover Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson, Victor Cruz, and Akeem Nicks. That's why they did it.
There you go. And I think the Giants' thinking has to be the same way. Now, I'm confident in Prince. But who knows what kind of money's going to get thrown at Prince, next year or year after, whenever he comes off his first contract, and it's probably going to be an exorbitant amount of money. And, you know, the Giants need to be prepared for that because I just want to mention three names.
Yep.
Dez Bryant, DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon. Who's going to cover those guys?
And they're all going to be around for a while, too.
Yeah. So I think, you know, a lot of times the draft is built around what your major competition is doing and what their strengths are. And we try to eliminate some of those strengths or at least create, not as much difference between their strength and our weakness. So,
and Len, not to look ahead too much, just FYI, Prince and JPP will both be free agents next offseason. So that's going to be a lot of money you're going to have to dish out to sign those two guys.
And listen, as Victor pointed out to us, he wanted a big guy, and Gilbert fits that scheme. He's a big, rangy guy with long arms. The Sherman type defensive back. So, I mean, if he's there at 12, I think we have to think long and hard about going that direction. And the one thing that I'm happy about is there's going to be a good football player there, John. I mean, there is going to be a guy I think we can plug in right away at that 12th position. It may be the wide receiver, it may be the D-back, it may be an offensive lineman. I mean, the big guy from Michigan, mean guy from Michigan, 6'7".
That big guy, are you talking about the kid out of Michigan State?
No, I'm talking about Lewin, the offensive tackle.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, I'm talking about Lewin.
He has some off-the-field issues, right?
Yeah, listen, but they're not... they're not the kind of – I hate to make excuses for them, and I'm not doing that. But, look, it's not the kind of off-the-field issues. It appears not – it's somebody pushes him in a bar and he takes a swing,
You know what, though? You almost kind of want your offensive lineman to have that type of toughness,
But it's not – it's not drugs, alcohol, and beating up a woman. I mean, it's not those kind of things where you say, whoa, I don't want that guy on my team.
Right.
I mean, these things happen amongst college guys. I mean, I'm not making excuses for it, John. I'm just saying I can tolerate that kind of off-field issue. You know, I mean, he's not going to damage the reputation of the Giants with that kind of off-field issue. So, I mean, he'd be a good guy there, too. I mean, the point is, and I don't want to talk about Lewin too much, but the point is, there's going to be a heck of a football player there at 12, John. And I think there's going to be a heck of a player at 44. I think there's going to be a heck of a player at 76. I think we can plug guys in right away, first, second, third-round picks. Let me just mention one thing about the defense. The only thing I was disappointed in with the defense last year at the end of the season when I look back on it all, it was really the pass rush. And I know it came on the last half of the season, but it didn't seem to me to be terribly creative. Now, maybe JPP with his back and then the shoulder, he couldn't get too creative in his moves, but it didn't seem to me that there were a lot of moves. The only creativity is when we move Tuck inside. You know, you wonder whether or not we really need to study that pass rush. And, you know, some teams employ a pass rush specialist. I wonder if we need somebody in there to work with Perry on creating some sort of innovative pass rushes. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, John, but they seem to be awfully vanilla with their pass rush.
Well, you know what, Len, to be quite honest with you, I mean, OC was considered a pass rush specialist when he was here, and I think Jason Pierre-Paul has the physical attributes to be that guy too.
Well, I hope so. I hope you're, you know, I hope you're right. But what do you think about my, you know, my comment? I mean, the pass rush, and it may be because of injuries, you know. I don't know. But it just seemed to me that those, I mean, it was awfully vanilla, John. I mean, we don't see the kinds of stunts that we didn't see the kinds of stunts that we see coming from other teams. And blitzes, even off the corner and from the, you know, from the linebacker position.
I agree. I don't think you see a wide variety of blitzes, but quite frankly, even when Perry did send the blitz last year in certain situations, the Giants linebackers really didn't do a great job evading offensive linemen and getting to the quarterback. That's one thing Carl Banks harped on all the time on the radio broadcast. The linebackers didn't know how to blitz properly. They would just run into guys.
Yeah. Now, based on that statement, and this will be the last thing I'll say, John, I really appreciate me keeping me on as long as you did. One more comment, and this is going to go against what we just said, but sign Beeson, we can live with this linebacking core. I mean, get Paysinger under contract, get Rivers back under contract. We can live with this linebacking core. There's too many other holes, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. Hey, John, have a good day. Thanks for taking my call.
Len, anytime. Survive the snow. Be careful, soft shoveling, and stay warm. That's the one thing that got me this morning. The snow actually came up around my car really easily. It was that really light, puffy stuff. You know, just a couple swipes with the shovel, got it off. Getting the stuff off the car is a bigger pain. You got to melt the stuff with the ice and all that stuff. That sucks. But the snow actually moved pretty well. That was fine, but Len, be careful. It was freezing, though, this morning. 8 degrees. My gloves did nothing. My fingers were, like, in pain. It was, like, frostbite-esque. It was bad. So be careful out there in the cold, guys. Be safe driving, and just go a little slower, and don't get yourselves killed or hurt. 201-939-4513. Roldy's in Bayshore. Roldy, what's up?
Good morning, John. How you doing? I know you just mentioned that, you know, us as fans, we keep the show fresh. But keep in mind, it's because of you and Lance that also, you know, you guys make it fun, and you guys also keep it fresh.
We try to,
you guys
do
a good job.
Thank you.
All right. I'm glad to hear that Lynn and Victor is, you know, wanting a cornerback team picked in the first round, guys like Justin Gilbert. And I've been talking about Justin Gilbert for the last 3-4 weeks, that I feel like the Giants should go after this guy. Because you even mentioned it too, John, if you need a difference maker, and Justin Gilbert is that guy. Like I said, I like his physical ability. You know, he could play the corner, and he could play special teams. So that's the area I really want the Giants fans to look at. Look at Justin Gilbert. He is a big corner, and I would like the Giants to draft him. And again, I want the Giants fans to know that Jerry Reese needs to concentrate. As far as free agency, is the offensive line, is the defensive line. But as far as the draft, I want the Jerry Reese to concentrate on the linebacker on the draft. You know, if it's the second round or the third round, the draft, you know, I would rather, you know, Jerry Reese draft the linebacker than sign a linebacker, if especially if we get John Beeston back, especially at our right number. Now, my question to you, do you like Justin Gilbert's game? Because I know I spoke to you about Justin Gilbert about, you know, 4 weeks ago, but I never got your answer. Like, how do you feel about, you know, the Giants drafting him?
Well, I've seen a couple of tweets calling him, you know, Patrick Peterson 2.0. I think anointing anybody, Patrick Peterson is probably getting ahead of yourself a little bit. Everyone was calling Morris Claiborne that a couple years ago, and he really hasn't gotten it done with Dallas yet. Look, and I always say this, and fans get on me about it. The draft, to me, while there's a lot of research and a lot of work done into it, and there is a skill to it, it still, in the end, is educated guesswork. There were people that honestly believed Ryan Leaf would be a better NFL quarterback than Peyton Manning. People honestly were having that conversation in 1998. I remember it. Well, you know, Peyton's mature, Peyton's smarter, but Ryan Leaf, he's got such a good arm, he can get the ball down the field. I'd pick Ryan Leaf. I swear to you, those conversations happened on ESPN. So when you hear things like that, you know, and you see where Richard Sherman is drafted in the middle rounds, and he's the best corner in football, you just never know how players are going to translate from college to the pros. So do I think Gilbert has the size, speed, and athletic ability to be a good NFL corner? I certainly do. Do I think having a big, strong cornerback would help the Giants' defense? I certainly do. And I think what the NFL is, it's copycat leagues. People see the Seahawks winning with these big, physical cornerbacks that bump and, you know, grind with the bump and run and use their size. So I think other teams will try to copy it. And I think it's a good formula. But what happens in 2 years if the NFL decides to tell the officials, you know what, we're going to start calling illegal contact like crazy again? Then all of a sudden, those really big wide, those really big corners are going to have trouble sticking with fast wide receivers because they're calling for illegal contact every other play. So you really never know.
It's just because the game, I mean, the game has changed. It's become a passing league. So it's like, you know what, every team wants a big cornerback, a physical, a ball hawk cornerback. And I just felt like, you know what, I think it's become a passing league. That's what we got to look at. And I don't want the Giants fan. I want the Giants fan to look and do some research. We need to go into free agency on the offensive line. If there's a good offensive lineman in the draft, then yeah, but I don't want to take an offensive lineman in the first round or second or third round. You know, I want a proven veteran in the free agency that we can get as far as the offensive lineman. And if we do sign John Beeston at our number, then I want to draft an outside linebacker, a speedy linebacker in the second or third round. But I want the Giants fan to stop thinking about the draft as far as offensive line. We need a veteran offensive lineman in through free agency. That's where I want Jerry Reese to concentrate on. Thank you for taking my call, John. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Rolly. Bye. Be safe out there in Bayshore. Survive the snow. I know Long Island got hit particularly hard, so be good out there. And look, honestly, I think you need to bring in a couple of veteran offensive linemen in free agency too. But if you want to draft a guard in round 2 or even round 3, let's be honest, 12th pick, third round, if you pick a guard there should be a pretty decent shot he can start in year 1. They really should be, considering how many skill position guys are going to go in rounds 1 and 2 this year. You should be able to find a starting guard in round 3 if you're picking 12. So if the Giants go to war next year with Beattie and Pugh at tackle, with a veteran center, veteran guard, and you slide in a rookie guard at the other spot, I'd be okay with that. I'd be fine with that. 201-939-4513. Anthony out in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't think he has any snow out there. He's going to put a ribbon on this one for us. What's up, Tony?
No, we have a saying out here that in the Valley of the Sun, you know, you don't have to shovel sun.
Yeah, that's very true. You do not. Great point.
You know what, John? In harmony with the holiday we just had in Martin Luther King Day, we had a dream. Well, I had a dream. And just hear me out here. The Giants came to terms with Beeston and Tuck. They also came to terms with Booth. Jerry Reese, with his negotiations, he did very well with Knicks because he let him go. Knicks wanted too much money, and we picked up Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay.
But first, before we did that, we brought in Michael Orr, and we signed him. And then we could fill holes any way we want. I agree with you 100%. If we put Michael Orr on that offensive line, And we've got Pugh who really gave us more than we really expected. Pugh gave us a great year. And maybe, I don't know what's going to be the situation. Deal retired, but you put Michael Orr on that offensive line. We can fill little holes where we need it. He could play inside. He could play outside. He's wonderful. We need to pick him up. He's 28 years old. He's a proven veteran. We're going to open the bank up. We need to open the bank to get that offensive. Because then we're talking, let's say we sign him to a four-year deal. We can fill holes as we go along here.
I agree.
Off the scrap heap or in the draft, anywhere we want. We get a player of his caliber. That's like getting Snead in his prime.
Yeah, Anthony, I would say, and honestly, I think the Giants need to figure out which offensive lineman in free agency they think is the best. And they need to say, all right, we're going to get this guy, and no one's going to outbid us for him. Whether that's Michael Orr, I'd be fine if that was Alex Mack, the center, coming over from the Cleveland Browns. I think he's an excellent player. I'd be fine with any one of those guys. But the Giants need to find the guy they think is the best offensive lineman available, target him, get him, and most importantly, not be wrong about him.
Excellent. After that, my dream continues. We get a tight end.
Do you want to draft a tight end, Anthony, or do you want to sign one?
With the money we're spending on Orr and probably on Sanders, we're probably going to have to find something off the scrap heap. And I'll tell you what, I give a lot of kudos to Jerry Reese. Now, some guys don't work out. That happens. But you know what? From his picks, when the guys I mentioned, Jenkins, Patterson, these guys, Beeson, they were on the scrap heap. And he picked them up. He went out and picked them up, negotiated, and brought them in the air at fair prices. Now, Beeson needs to wake up and realize that.
Yeah, Jerry Reese has done a better job with those types of signings than he has with those middle-round draft picks. And I think you also have to give credit to Jerry. Also give credit to the Giants pro personnel people. It was Dave Gettleman before he left to be the Panthers general manager. Now it's our guys Kenny Sternfeld up there, Matt Schauger, and that entire staff. They do an excellent job finding those guys in the free agent market and in the trade market in the case of John Beeson.
You know, I remember, the couple of years back when Smith was a free agent and all that argument, all the Giant fans calling in and whatnot and asking for Smith. And Jerry Reese just answered, he's a free agent. He has the right to go anywhere he wants to go. And they made him an offer. He said he made him a decent offer, but we couldn't afford to keep him anymore according to what he wanted. So he's free. He gets to go where he wants to go.
That's how it works. Yep.
And guess what? He's a failure. They don't leave New York. I always say this to you, John. They don't leave New York and do better. And that's the thing. People need to realize there's very few players that have ever left New York and have done better.
Yeah, and the only guy that's really done just as good has been Barry Cofield. But you're right. Nobody else has left here and really blown up on another team.
And that's really with any sport. Yep. Baseball, you go to the Yankees. Not many people left the Yankees and done better. Over the years, coaches from the Giants have gone on and done better. But as far as players, there's very, very few, and same with the Yankees and same with the Mets. You don't leave New York and do better. You don't go on a winning team and have a better career somewhere else than you have had in New York. Now, Tuck needs to wake up and realize that, too, and come back with a reasonable contract that the Giants can afford to keep him.
And I think he will.
And he'll be a hero.
Yep.
He'll be a hero in New York. His number will be hanging up if he has two more good years.
He will be Mr. Giant, no question about it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, John, thanks for taking my call, and I'll give you a call probably next couple of days.
Anthony, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it as always, my friend.
Bye-bye now.
Put on those shades. Put on that hat. Enjoy the desert. Jealous. They do shovel sand in Arizona, though, I'm pretty sure. No snow, just sand. Sand's heavier than snow, too, by the way. Hurt your back. Everybody, great job on the phones. Great job on Twitter. During the last couple calls, I tried to go through and answer as many of your questions as I could at hashtag Giants Chat. Excellent job. Great show. Survive the snow. Be safe. Enjoy the Yankees' new signing. Brand new rotation. Mr. Tanaka coming to town. I wonder if the Yankees got a big leg up in that. If he talked to, Kuroda, who's here, talked to Ichiro, who's here. And you know what? The guy I bet you he spoke to the most that I haven't seen a lot of people read about is Hideki Matsui. I think Hideki Matsui really enjoyed his time in New York because unlike when he was in Japan, and he is basically Babe Ruth in Japan. He couldn't walk down the street without getting mobbed by hundreds and hundreds of fans. And here, I bet you he told Tanaka he could blend in, be part of the Yankees, be part of the culture. Yeah, you'll have a few Japanese reporters following you and all that stuff. That's great. But Hideki Matsui was never the star in New York. He wasn't even a top five star in New York until that big World Series performance. But he came to work every day, was a professional, did his job, enjoyed the city, and moved on. And I bet you that's what he told Tanaka, and I bet you Tanaka appreciates that. Just a guess. I don't know if it's true. In my mind, that's what happened. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time, tomorrow morning, 9:30 a.m., Big Blue Kickoff Live. Be there.